We do have to ask about the asparagus ice cream.
Yes. You were at the Asparagus Festival with the asparagus ice cream, I believe?
Yes.
The NEPM Asparagus Festival, shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
But did that start before the Asparagus Festival? Oh, you were still making that before?
Yeah.
I want to feel like we're the reason, but to know that we're not is somehow relieving.
It's liberating.
And I have to tell you, it also started long before the term Hadley Grass had a different kind of a meaning.
It's time for another local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, who has now finally announced to the public he's stepping down from CESA, and our adventures with him are going to be coming to an end.
He can still come if he wants to. I'm just saying.
I think he should still
come. We already set a precedent.
We love
what
you,
else are you going to do with your time?
We've known about
help cows cross the road.
Yeah, yeah. How did the cow cross the road? We're going to get to that in just a second. But yeah, congratulations on this, and we love you.
Thank you so much, Monty. It's been a fun 12 years of talking with you with a microphone in my face.
Yeah. And going on adventures like this at Flavors of Cook Farm in Hadley. And we're with Debbie Cook and Gordy Cook. Gordy is Debbie's father-in-law. Gordy, you're the farmer here. How long you been farming at Cook Farm?
Oh, I guess for quite a while. I mean, I've done other things in my life as well, but growing up, I grew up, the farm has been here. This is, I'm the third generation on the farm, and my grandfather bought this farm in 1909. I started my life here in 1945, but as I grown up on the farm and then did other things for a while and been back on the farm here for a long time, full time. And now I say full time. If my son was here and I said we, he would ask if he had a mouse in his pocket. My son, he's Gordon III, but he's Hank. He's Hank to everybody, and he's the main farmer that takes care of the cows and all, and I do what I can, and when I cost them too much money, I break and stuff, they're going to lay me off.
Hank is literally milking the cows right now, right?
He is, yes.
And that's what Cook Farm is, if you don't know. It's a dairy farm.
It is, yep.
And the flavors part is the ice cream part of the dairy farm.
Yes, to help the dairy farm.
Yeah. So we are in the beautiful farm store where the ice cream is served and where people will be in here eating their sundaes, and you can get all sorts of farm-related, cow-related gifts.
And snacks and things. There's a whole lot here. There's more than just like the ice cream too.
And that is an essential part of agribusiness at this point, right? Where we've heard so many stories about dairy farms and how hard it is for small dairy farms to operate. When did flavors show up as part of a way to supplement the income of the dairy farm?
Back in 1997, my mother-in-law decided that she was done with milking cows, and she decided she would prefer to be scooping ice cream.
Uh-huh.
So she put her dream into action. She went for a grant, a farm viability grant, and that grant is what was the momentum behind Flavors getting started.
Flavors is spelled with an extra Y. Why?
Flavors is spelled F-L-A-Y-V-O-R-S, and we do that in honor of Favor, who was a cow that we had here.
Spelled F-A-Y-V-O-R. The cow was a Holstein. She's a cow that I found one day. I was trying to pick cattle for a sale. We used to have a Hampshire Franklin regional sale here, and I found this cow, and I said, oh, no, we can't put that one in a sale. She's our elevation, we're blah, blah, blah. And she wasn't a young cow, but I said, well, if you can't put her in a sale, maybe you could buy her. And he priced her to me for a lot of money, and I made him what I thought was a lot of money, but a lesser offer. And I came back there 2 weeks later with a trailer, and he said, what are you doing back here? I said, I came to pick up the cow. And the father told the sons, he wants her really bad. Maybe he'll make something out of her. We'll let her go. And she'd never been classified like we classify all our cows, but she came here, and she was special. She was the first cow we ever flushed or superovulated and had extra young stock from. She ended up having 13 daughters here, 9 of which were excellent. The other 4 were very good. She had a son named Cook Farm Starbuck Flip that we used.
Great name.
That we used a lot. In fact, he got used internationally. We sold semen to Europe, Canada, United States.
Super sperm.
He wasn't a high milk bull, but he could make them right. He could make them last. And that's what a lot of people want, is they wanted cattle that would last. And the Flips did, and his components were great. Favors components were off the charts. It was a great investment. And when Hank got out of college and came back on a farm, we thought, well, how are we going to do that? He wasn't married at that time.
The family needed to figure out, how do you support two families? People always think, oh, you just hand off the farm, but there's a transition time of a generation involved. And oftentimes the older generation is thinking, how do I invest in this farm so that the next generation can do even better than we have done?
And I said, well, we're probably not going to around here be able to buy any more land to feed more cows. And she says, well, we could do what I always wanted. I knew it was an ice cream stand. Trust me, I envisioned a double wide trailer, pop a few holes in it for windows and move on. Well, as you can see, this post and beam building, and after the building got built and the equipment got in, I say it, my daughter hates to hear me say this, but we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. But this store and this ice cream stand, it'll be our legacy.
We can look out these beautiful big windows now.
See the cows.
How many cows do you have?
I think my son is milking right now about 55 cows, but we have probably more like 155 animals on the farm. And our cows are registered Holsteins or registered Jerseys, with the caveat that we do use some beef semen.
Beef stroganoff.
And we do have some crossbred beef animals coming along that are either Holstein Wagyu or Holstein Angus cross, or Jersey Wagyu, Jersey Angus. Maybe a quarter of our cows are bred that way. Everybody else in that pen, you see, you know, registered Jersey calves and registered Holstein calves and heifers. That's my granddaughter, Debbie's youngest. They have five children, and they're all here on the farm. I have 11 grandchildren, but the five oldest ones are here. Girl Mary, girl Kirsten, girl Juliet, girl Annalise, and then Gordy the fourth is 20 years old. He graduated from Cobleskill in New York in their mechanic, the John Deere mechanic course, and he's working now for United Ag and Turf. He's stationed in Connecticut, but he comes up here, helps us fix things.
Fix things that you break, says Debbie.
Well, I'm not the only one that breaks.
What's the usefulness of introducing the beef strains into your dairy herd?
We wanted to be actively in selling beef here as well. It's been a good move. We sell quite a bit of beef here, and we do not really have the facilities to have an entirely separate beef herd, and so they integrate well with our other cattle.
Part of the reason that we're breeding a Holstein with a Wagyu is because the cow needs to have a calf to give milk.
Cows have to calve to lactate.
It's a twofold. We get a beef cow, but also we have a cow.
Are you using the milk from the Holstein and the Jerseys to make the ice cream, or what milk goes best with what ice cream?
I'm going to handle that, and I'm going to be straight honest, and I tell people this all the time. We at Cook Farm do not have enough capacity, septic capacity, to pasteurize our milk.
Mm-hmm.
We sell our milk and we buy back a mix from a dairy that makes a mix for us. And we're using a 16% fat mix. We have really high butterfat cows. In the month of November, we got paid for 5% fat milk. But there's a long way between 5% fat and 16% fat. And it's an awful lot of skim milk that we would not have a home for. So it's far more beneficial, and there's more efficacy for us to sell our milk and then buy back that mix and then make everything that's made. All the ice cream is homemade here. We have a batch mixer. It's all mixed batch at a time. And we now have a brand new batch mixer. We had one with 50 years experience that decided to leave.
Pointing right at Phil.
My daughter-in-law, Deborah, and her second oldest daughter, Kirsten, make the ice cream. So it's all homemade here.
Lots of dairy farms are not set up to be selling directly to their consumers. So they're selling into Agrimark. Milk is coming throughout New England and Massachusetts. And when we're buying milk not directly from a farm, we're often getting a great fluid product that is grown here in New England. But you can get raw milk from your farm.
Yes, you can. We used to ship direct until 2002 to Grellick Farms. When Grellick got taken over by DFA, my son, and we were going to have to join a co-op, my son thought he would really want to join Agrimark. Agrimark was closed to new membership, so we happen to ship our milk through DFA. We do sell raw milk here at the farm.
I love raw milk.
I only use it to make cheese.
My wife makes yogurt out of it, but I'll just drink it straight. I think it's delicious.
Yeah.
Tell us about the recipes for the ice cream, the flavors of Cook Farm here in Hadley. Who created the recipes? Who are new recipes coming all the time? And who's keeping an eye on that sort of thing?
We have new recipes all the time. Mm-hmm. My daughter, Kirsten, loves to take a suggestion and run with it. So she makes new flavors all the time. We have a woman that was a regular customer who thought the idea of coffee with Oreos in it would be a hit. And so we made it, and it's named after her.
Nice.
Her name was Sally. So we still have Sally's Coffee Grounds. Yeah, we just love to have fun. I went and did a taste testing event at the Senior Center here in town, and I asked them, what flavor would you love to see? And they came up with a bunch. And so I made mojito. That was one of the ones that they wanted. So I made that as an ice cream. And we love the connection. So I think that's part of the reason we do it. You know, I loved being able to give them a quart of mojito ice cream and thank you and pulling them into who we are.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other flavors that come through the harvest season for you here?
We love making our strawberry ice cream with the local strawberries. It depends on the season. Last year, I think we had a really short local season because that's the way the berries grew. This year was a bit longer, but still not as long as we'd love. We wish we could have it all year round. But it does make those seasonal times special. So we have honey ice cream from Warm Colors Apiary. But then there's a seasonal flavor that got named after me. It's called Debbie's Downfall because it was my downfall. It's salted caramel ice cream with gluten-free pretzels and sea salt caramel truffles. It's amazing.
What was the downfall that you just fell victim to eating this all the time? Or was there some other life tragedy that inspired this?
Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances.
No,
I couldn't get the caramel right, and we just like kept trying. There's a beer at abandoned building that's named the Blunder for kind of similar reasons. Yeah.
No, this was one that I kept saying, "Oh no, I can't eat anymore. I can't eat anymore," and I would just keep going back. I could not stop eating it.
That sounds delicious.
She mentioned in that ice cream that there's gluten-free pretzels in it. Debbie and four of her five children are gluten intolerant, and she's very cognizant of that. And so she has a lot of things here that are gluten-free.
When you come here, you can take your ice cream and wander around and go visit the cows.
And we alluded to earlier that why did the cow cross the road? Why do the cows cross the road?
On the side of the farm where the store is, we have our milk cows and our young calves. After they're about 6 months old, they go across the street, and that's our heifer pasture. And when they're over there till they're about close to two, and then when they're getting ready to have a calf, they're going to come back across the street. So getting these animals from one side to the other is an unplanned rodeo.
Ain't your first unplanned rodeo, I guess.
This road is no wider today than it was when I was growing up here. And when I was growing up here, my uncle, Uncle Arnold, had an ice cream stand. And if he sold a dozen ears of corn to everybody that went by, he wouldn't sell $100 worth a week. Now, you can't predict what the kind of traffic will be. We have to be careful. And every once in a while, no matter how much you try not to have it, cows get out. Mm-hmm. And that can be close to a circus, and I'm not usually an attendee in that anymore. There were the day when I was, but...
I feel like for people who haven't been here, could you tell the story of the flavor of Inez?
So on our farm sign, we have two cows. One is a Jersey, the brown cow. Her name is Ginger. And then we have a Holstein, and her name was Inez. So when flavors first started, we wanted to kind of pay tribute to both. So we have a flavor Ginger, and then of course we needed something for Inez. And it's like an Almond Joy. It's coconut ice cream with almonds and chocolate chips, but it's really just a way to pay tribute to her.
Both of those cows were respectively, the Holstein Inez was the 95-point cow. Ginger at the time was a 94 Jersey. They were our highest classified cows of the two respective breeds.
Do you still score, like what's your highest scoring cow right now?
We still have a 95-point cow. Hank had a tremendous Jersey classification this year. We have had a couple of 95-point jerseys, but an 89 2-year-old is extremely rare. That's the highest they can score, and that's a first calf score. And Hank had a pair of half sisters this time go 80. One went 89, one went 88. Our herd is still in the top 20 in the whole United States on what they call a BAA, which is a breed age average score. I think we're somewhere around 112 and a half or something like that.
It's like the Olympics of cows.
Yes.
I don't understand the scoring for most Olympic sports either.
14-9 for the second one, 15-3 for the average.
Was there ever a doubt, Mr. Flay?
We had 31 years in a row. We were premier breeder at the Massachusetts State Holstein Show. You know, you can say 31 real fast, but gosh, it was a long time going.
Yeah, that's a lot of years.
So Hank and I met, and we both had a similar personality trait in that whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. So it's something that we'll always be proud of. We both do our jobs with quality in mind. We want the best. And we push ourselves to do that. We both work long hours, But we do it because we want it to provide something that we're proud of. And we're so grateful for this community that allows us to do that.